Have a seat. Have a seat. Have a seat so we can have a little fun. Come on. Now, it's good to be back at Hiles Anderson. I'm actually here every week on Saturday mornings, but for chapel, this is a comeback, so it's good to be here. I'm glad to be here. I'm a youth pastor. I know I'm old. I got the gray hair going on. I might have to pop out the glasses today, you know, because my vision's fleeing, but I like to have a little fun. Now, I understand you guys are having college days, and I understand you've got Christmas lights coming up, and you think that's so far away, it's not, but I always like to be matchmaker, and so I'm wondering if there's anybody in here this morning that you are desperately seeking companionship, and you would like to, there's a young lady that you would like to ask. Now, men ask ladies, and all right, and ladies say yes, all right, and but you are a young man, and you've been eye spying the girl next to you there, or down the row, or the other guy's girl, and I'd be willing to pay for you to go to Harvest Fest. I'll give you some spending money. I'll even loan you a costume, all right? And cover that face up, amen. And I know they say everybody's beautiful, right? And there's nobody ugly, but some of you are practicing, so some of you are in training. But is there anybody here that's a young man? You say, I'll take your offer on it. All you got to do is come up here. All you got to do is come up here. Anybody like that? Nobody? Alberto, you want to do it? You want to do it? Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Come on. Come on. No? All right, come on. There you go. Oh. Is this on the pulpit mic? All right, Alberto, all you got to look. Hey, don't worry about rejection. We've all been rejected, okay? And so, amen, how many have ever been rejected? Some of you are about to get rejected, okay? So, all right, so just find a young lady. And now I did this one time, and the guy asked a girl out that was engaged. And she said yes. No. So you've got somebody ready? All right, now, young lady, no pressure. I'll pay, all right? All the girls are ducking, all right? All I see is a bunch of hair about this level, all right? Okay, you ready? Go ahead. You ask a girl out. Find you a girl. Go ahead. Oh. Come on. I got 25 minutes to preach. I'm giving you five. Let's go.
I want to ask,
come on, hurry. Pray for him, brother, pray for him. use sign language, brother, if you don't. Use sign language. Go ahead. Hurry, come on. Come on, you got a minute? Let's go.
I want to ask.
All right. One more time and we're done. All right, go ahead.
Write her name,
I'll read it. Hey, you all notice how the desperate guys always help the desperate guys? What's her last name? Okay. Her name is Leah. Where's Leah? Don't ask me in the Bible. What's your last name, Leah? Shiflett? You win the grand prize. All right, no. All right, go ahead. Ask her. Stand up, Leah. Stand up. Stand up, Leah. All right, go ahead. Leah, you should say yes, because this is going to be a very quiet date. All right? He ain't talking at all, so just say yes. Go ahead.
Harvest Fest?
No, no, no. Wait. Wait, Leah, he got that wrong. Hashtag Harvest Fest, all right? Your answer? She doesn't know? Yay, let your yay be yay and your nay be nay. Or your go away, all right? Yes, no? Yes? Yes? No pressure, yes?
Can I sit down?
Yes, you may go sit down. Leah, you know, you all are going to be a wonderful couple, you know? How are you doing tonight? Thanks for going with me. So you didn't give me an answer, yes or no? Okay, well, if you do, by the end of chapel, the Spirit moves, let me know, I'll pay, okay? All right, Alberto, props to you, man. Nothing like being rejected in public, all right? Those young men that came with me, stand up real quick. These boys are, just want to acknowledge why they're here. Number one, they ditched school. Amen. Always a good day to go with the youth pastor to chapel. But they attend our Sunday. Sit down, guys. You ugly. They attend our afternoon program. And so in the afternoon program, if you're faithful to certain events, you get to go on trips with me, or you get to go to chapel, or next week we're going to go shoot guns or whatever. We do little special things for the young men that are faithful. And so that's why they're here. And they get to go out of school. Isn't that awesome? And then we get to go out to eat afterwards. That's good. And then I've got my wife here. Now, she did not stand. Now, this is my beautiful wife, Zeta. Stand up, Zeta. I left the ugly wife at home, but my wife is a bus kid. She never attended a Christian school, never attended Howes Anderson. A lot of people think she did, but she did not. She attended the extension classes, right, up in Chicago, but never graduated from here. And she is an incredible woman. She has got a gift of writing music to scripture. How many of you have ever heard some of her scripture songs? And so if I could, I'd love for her to play a song. Do we have a cordless mic there somebody can hold? Right here? All right. Can one of you, Michelle, or one of you ladies, there you go. Rachel, if you could hold it. Turn to Psalms chapter 56. Rachel, you know how to do that? All right. And I turn to Psalm 56. This is something I do almost anywhere I preach. My wife and I have actually I've done something a few times we really enjoy. We do what's called scripture camps. And we'll go to camps, youth camps, and then during that entire week, we'll teach scripture songs, and we'll divide the teams into the teens into teams. And every day we work on scripture for about an hour. By the end of the week, our goal is that every young person memorize 20 verses of scripture, and the way we do it is we sing them. And so that's something we do. I love the Word of God. Either the Word of God is true or it's not. If it is, then it ought to be read, it ought to be believed, it ought to be practiced, it ought to be obeyed. And I'm not preaching about the Word of God today, though, but I just, sometimes I wonder, you know, we treat the Word of God like a book bag. It goes under a seat in the back seat of the car, goes in a trunk, nobody knows where it's at, can't find it. And I went to Israel a few years ago, Brother Ray, I went with you, and I was very impressed with the Jewish people and their care of the Torah. As a matter of fact, I was convicted by it because they would wear gloves to carry the Torah, and they would hold it up on almost like an ark type of the covenant pedestal, and they would carry it and they wouldn't touch it unless they had gloves, and they would wash themselves before they went there to the Wailing Wall. And they would bow before it, and they would quote it. And I thought, man, oh, that Christians would have a love for the Word of God like those people do. Psalms 56, Zeta, are you ready? No pressure. She hates when I do this, but I just love the way she sings. And I can't preach, so just listen to her sing the whole time. All right, you ready? Psalms 56, we're singing verse 1, 2, and 3. Is that right? Yes? Okay, good.
What time I am afraid. I will trust in thee. What time I am afraid. I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. When I'm afraid, I will trust in thee.
Let's try it. How many of you know it? You know it from teen church or something, or camps? Let's do it. I know it's, don't raise it. Leave it right where you're at. Why don't you just start and I'll follow you, okay? That's what I always do anyhow. So let's I'll just follow you. So just do that. All right, here we go. Ready?
What time I am afraid. I will trust in thee.
Again.
What time I am afraid. I will trust in thee.
Verse 4, in God I will put.
In God I will. Trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. When I'm afraid, I will trust in thee.
Thank you, Zeta. Thank you very much. All right. You can give her a hand. She does a great job with that. Luke chapter 8, verse 25. Luke chapter 8, verse 25. How many of you were up late watching? Well, I guess, you don't have TVs here, do you? How many of you were up late watching the ball game last night or listening to it? Okay, all you off-campus people, that's why you're in the back. All right. Yes, I was up late too. And, you know, this is an incredible year. I mean, the Cubs are probably going to go to the World Series, right? And there's a big election come November 4th or whatever. And then November 5th, the rapture's taking place. Amen? It is a great year. Luke chapter 8, something happened last night that I don't like that happens. And I told my wife this morning, you know, you work up a sermon. You think you know where you're going to go in chapel. And I preach enough where, you know, I kind of know my crowd and so on. And you prepare a message, and then just God steps in and says, no, change your message. And that's the worst feeling in the world. Because then you just sit there at your computer like, okay, come on, I need something. And I was going to preach a lighthearted message in here about dating, but then I realized most of you couldn't handle it, or most of you would not obey it. I've got a message you need to hear on 10 reasons why I don't like your girl. And maybe one day I'll preach that in a split chapel, but not today. How many of you ever heard that message, 10 Reasons Why I Don't Like Your Girl? Yeah, it's a real message. It really is. But I didn't want to offend some of you that are dating in here, okay? Luke chapter 8, verse 25. I am going to talk to you. I'm going to be very transparent. I always tell the preacher boys that I work with, and that is be very careful about always getting up and trying to preach your strength. And then you make the people that are listening to you feel like there's no way that they can ever be where you're at. There is no way that they can ever even strive to be like you because you preach your strengths and you preach about things you know, and then the people just sit there and say, I'm never going to be like that. That is so true with the teenagers that I work with. So many times I have to be careful because I've been a Christian now for many, many years. They've only been a Christian for a year or two, and they really struggle just on a day-to-day basis. And I recall when I was a teenager, the struggles that I had. And one struggle that I had was this whole matter of faith, believing God. Faith, believing God. And I look at this verse, if you'll read with me in Luke chapter 8, verse 25, the Bible says, and he said unto them, would you read the next line with me? Where is your faith? I want to ask you, Hiles Anderson this morning, chapel, I want to ask you, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Let's have a word of prayer. Then I want to just real quickly, I don't preach long. I preach the teenagers. After about 18 minutes, they start booing. And so I'm going to very quickly just give you three helps this morning on faith. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you today, Lord, so unworthy, Lord, to even hold this book. So unworthy, dear Lord, that lips that are vile and profane would even say the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, so just unworthy to stand on this platform where greater men have stood and have been used of God greatly. And then, dear Lord, to preach to the future of churches, to the future of ministries, to young men that are going to be used greatly by God in these next 30, 40 years. God, would you please meet with us this morning? Holy Spirit of God, would you please come and do, dear Lord, what I cannot do. And Lord, would you please work? We ask in Christ's name. Amen. I was saved at the age of 8 years old. You know, little children believe everything. Little children are very, as we would say, gullible. And maybe that's why young children will get saved. And maybe that's why the Lord Jesus Christ said it's easier for a child to be saved, have the faith of a child, than it is as a rich man trying to go through or a camel going through the eye of a needle. And young children get saved and they believed. And I remember as an 8-year-old boy getting saved. I don't remember what I did last night or maybe what happened last week, but I remember in vivid color riding that bus to church. It was not Goldfish Sunday. It was horseback riding Sunday when I came. And growing up in the city, I'd never seen a horse, and that was awesome. You got to go see a horse. And by the way, the kids still get excited about it, if you would get excited about it. But, man, it went on that horse, and, man, that was amazing. It was great. Loved it. And I remember being in junior church. Junior church would be held in the Jack Hiles Memorial Auditorium. There would be hundreds of kids in there, almost all the way to the back. And Brother Ray was there and some other men, and they would do the scripture memory verse, and they would do the I Hate the Devil chant. And I remember walking forward and raising my hand. I remember a worker coming to me, taking me forward to be saved. I remember, I didn't realize this till years later, but they took me behind the alley into a building that no longer stands. And that was the special ed building, so I got saved in the special ed building. I'm not sure if that was because I was special ed or if that was the building that was the soul winning room, but it was the Pathfinder building that I got saved in. As a young man, as a little boy, I could trust the Lord Jesus Christ to save me. As a teenager, I could not trust him to help me. As a young boy, I could trust him for salvation, had enough faith to trust him for my salvation. As a teenager, I found it very hard to trust him to meet my needs. And I'm just sharing with you a struggle that I had, which I am sure is a struggle that many young people in here have this morning. How's Anderson student? I want to ask you the question that's asked in Luke chapter 8 again. Where is your faith? You see, we can believe that the Lord Jesus Christ can secure our eternity, but he can't keep us today. We believe that he is all-powerful, all-knowing. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, and he's God above all gods. However, in our own life, there is no such evidence. In our own life, our faith is dead. In our own life, there's no challenge. In our own life, there's no going to God and say, God, would you please do this for me? And God, would you please work through me and work in me? In our own lives, honestly, we are nothing. We're not practicing atheists, but we're acknowledging atheists. Because there's nothing in our life that says, if I can trust the Lord Jesus Christ to save me, then why is it on a daily basis we cannot trust him for everything in life? Everything in life. I'm talking about the food and the raiment and the housing, everything in life. Hey, the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't want to secure your eternity. Man, he wants to help you today in the now and now, right now. And I struggled with that. I had enough faith to believe that he could give me eternal life. But then I had enough faith to believe he could save me from an eternal hell, but he could not keep me and help me in my temporary hell, in the trials of my life, in the problems that were coming my way. I think it's true about a lot of young people in this room this morning. The truth is, you have never exercised your faith. The greatest muscle that we have in the Christian life is not our lips. The greatest muscle we have is faith. And a lot of us have very, very weak faith. If our faith were a muscle, we'd be very, very weak people. We've not exercised our faith. We've not learned how to believe God. The truth is we're very comfortable. And we're very calloused. And the truth is we have just gone around with the motions of everything. Some of us grew up in Christian homes. You've never known what it is to trust God. You've never known what it is to go to God and say, God, I need you to pull through. I need you to do it for me. The story is told of Dr. Charles Sweeting was the president of the Moody Bible Institute back in the 60s and 70s. And Dr. Sweeting was the son of his father was a pastor, a very well-known pastor. Dr. Sweeting went to Bible college, and after he went to Bible college, he got hired on the church. And after he worked at the church for a while, the church called him to be a pastor, and he pastored a very well-known church in northern Illinois for many years. And then after pastoring for some time, he was asked to become the president of the Moody Bible Institute, and he became the president of the Moody Bible Institute. He is now a man that's been in full-time Christian service for over 40 years. He sits down one night, and he's talking to a missionary, and the missionary's talking about all the things that the Lord has done. The Lord delivered us in this area, and the Lord blessed in this area, and the Lord provided in this area. Dr. Charles Sweeting said, it was for the first time in my life that I realized that I live my life without true faith. He said, everything I had was given to me. He said, Daddy was a pastor. It was a certainty that I would become the pastor. Then I became a college president. He said, everything that I ever did, I did because that was my next step in life. He said, but I never did anything by stepping out on faith. And as a late 60-year-old man, he resigned becoming the president of the Moody Bible Institute and went to the mission field. He said, it was the first time in my life that I've ever, ever exercised my faith. I've had struggles of faith. I've done the research and the reading, and sometimes I kind of wondered if God was ever listening to me. I've been challenged by reading George Mueller and his orphanages and Jim Elliot and his ministry in Ecuador, and Tom Williams with the illness of his wife, Charles Finney and Jeremiah Lamphere with the Fulton Street Revivals in New York. And I've read all that, and I said, Lord, I want that kind of faith. But that kind of faith, young people, is faith that is faith that has to be exercised. It's faith that has to be engaged. It's faith that you are going to have to stop being comfortable, and you're going to say, God, I want to live by true faith. Give you a couple of things here real quick. Faith is not that you can, but that he can. And that's very important. See, we're doing way too much in our own flesh. We're doing way too much. It's almost like we are psychics and seances, and we're trying to somehow work up the power of God and somehow work up the faith of God. Hey, listen, that's not how you get it. It's not in what you can do. Some of you, your bus captains, your ministry leaders, your Sunday school teachers, and man, look what you're doing, or look what God is doing in that class or on that route. Imagine what God could do and how much more he's wanting to do if you would just simply say, Lord, I'm going to start believing you. I'm going to start believing you. I'm going to stop trusting in me. I'm going to stop trusting my way. God, I'm going to give it all up. God, I want to live by faith. Faith is not what you can do. Faith is what he can do through you. Yeah, I find it very, very distressing sometimes when I go to meetings and I'll say, can you tell me what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing through you or in you in your ministry? And it's like the crickets come out. It's like there's no one talking about, man, the Lord allowed this and the Lord saw this and I was praying for this and God delivered here. But it's not what you can do. It's what he can do through you. And if you'll get that right, if everything you do, you'll just say, you know what? I need God in my ministry. I need God on my bus route. Your personality will always draw. Hey, but God will keep. Hey, and you know, listen, your promotion will always draw, but God will keep. Hey, and listen, your organization might help and might draw, but God will keep. We need some young people to decide that, you know what? I am a Christian. I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. By faith I am saved. By faith I am kept. And now it's time for you to go and exercise that faith. Do something big. Ever so often I hear people say, oh, the days of people planting churches are over. The days of youth work are over. The days of this and that are over. No, they're not. No, they're not. But let me tell you something. If you want to see some of the results that were done in the past, you're going to have to go to God and you're going to have to exercise your faith. You can build a ministry, but what can God do? You can reach people, but what can God do? So many times we live not out of faith, but we live out of fear. We set our goals in ministry low. Why? Because we're fearful. We only do so much. Why? Because it's what we can do. We have limits. God is unlimited. May I remind you over and over again in the book of Luke where it says that with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Without faith, the book of Hebrews says it is impossible to please him. Even Moses in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, he said that it takes faith to live right. You know why you're struggling in your Christian life? Not exercise your faith. Your flesh is winning. Noah in the ark, God did it. Moses crossing the Red Sea, God did it. Gideon and his army, God did it. Peter walking on water, God did it. And those are all examples of men that stood out by faith. I believe we can have water walking moments again. I'm not talking about you, but I'm talking about seeing God walk through. Now, if you start walking on water, I'm gonna run. That's kind of freaky right there. That's kind of weird. But I truly believe, are you believing God or are you believing you? Are you fearing man? Are you totally believing in what God can do? I love Psalms 109, verse 21. It says, but do thou for me, O Lord, O God the Lord, for my name's sake, because thy mercy is good. I love that verse, and I've cried it out to God many times. But do thou for me, O God. You think that Brother Ray Young has got somehow of a unique relationship with God, that God would only bless him? No. You think that God blessed Dr. Jack Hiles and all these men in the past in a special way? Yes, he did, but he can do the same for you. Oh, that young people in this room would cry out to God, but do thou for me. But do thou for me. You know what one of my greatest encouragements for me to pray is? That I've prayed before and God's answered. I've prayed before and God answers. And you know what? Man, that just makes me want to pray a little more. You know one of my biggest incentives for going soul winning is that I've gone soul winning before and I've seen people saved. And man, when I see that, I'm thinking, man, that is awesome. By the way, God wants to do something for you if you would just cry out to God and say, God, would you do it for me? God, would you grant me some faith? God, would you help me? Some of you need to start water walking. Some of you need to start stepping out by faith. Some of you just need to blow people away and they say, hey, how many are you going to have in your bus ride? I'm going to have 300. Well, that's crazy. Step out by faith and say, God, I heard John Francis say he had 5,420 on his bus ride. How he fit them all, I have no idea. I heard this man say he had 200. I heard this man say, hey, God, would you do it for me? Would you do it for me? Faith is not what you can do, but faith is what he can do through you. Number two, faith sometimes doesn't make sense. And because it doesn't make sense, that's where fear overwhelms us and we run. You know, I've been to Jericho, and that makes no sense. Walk around the city walls, and at the seven, blow the trumpet, and the walls are going to come down. That makes no sense. Makes no sense. Get you a trumpet, get you a pitcher, break the pitcher, blow the trumpet, and you're going to win. That makes no sense. If you would just stop trying to figure God out, and just let God do it. If you would stop coming to God with your agenda, if you would stop coming to God with the way you think it ought to be done, and just say, God, it's you, God, you've got to do it. Sometimes faith doesn't make sense. Isaiah 55, verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Boy, I love when we plan things. Man, I've worked in planning and organization, project management, like these men up here have. And man, I love when a plan gets together and put a plan together and it works and it's phenomenal. We high-five each other. But you know what I really love? When we put a plan together and it just falls apart, and God still shows up. One of my greatest prayers in our youth conference is, Lord, we're planning, Lord, we're preparing, but God, if you want to come in here and mess this thing up and send a tornado through the campus, then Lord, do so. And you know what? He's answered that prayer before. Sometimes faith doesn't make sense. There's a story about a man who fell off a cliff. On his way down, he managed to grab onto a tree limb, and on the way down, he began to cry out to God. He said, God, God, help me. Help me, God. I'm falling. Help me, God. Kept crying out. He said, is anyone up there? God, help me. I'm falling. Finally, the Lord responded and said, son, I'm here. I'm the Lord your God. Do you believe me? The man cried out. Said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, but I'm falling. I'm falling. I really believe you, but I can't hang on much longer. The Lord responded, let go. Let go. If you really believe me, then you have nothing to worry about. I will save you. Just let go. The man's response after a minute was, is there anyone else up there? That's us. That's us right there. Now, I'm going to let go, Lord, but, you know, Lord, you might be one of them, like, bus kid Jesuses and be like, psych. Bus kids tell me to do something. I'm like, no way. Don't believe you. Don't trust you. Faith sometimes doesn't make sense. It was missionary William Carey that said, expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Let me ask you, you say, well, I'm just a college student. What have you attempted for God that is great? That is different. That is unusual. Everybody can run in a click, run alone. Anybody can be satisfied and comfortable with a certain number that makes your leader feel good. Why don't you go and say, God, it's me and you. Me and you. Sometimes faith doesn't make sense. Number three, faith will have obstacles, but obstacles bring opportunities. Obstacles bring opportunities. Noah had to wait 120 years, but he saw God pull through. 120 years. It's about the average length that some of you girls will wait for a man. But 120 years, but God pulled through. And there's obstacles, but when I was younger, and I know I'm an old fogey now, but when I was younger, you know, I didn't like problems. Boy, now when a problem comes up or when something is difficult, I get kind of excited. Poof! God's got to pull through. It's a big day and it's raining. Oof! God's got to pull through. Man, it's the Cubs are in the World Series. No one's going to come to church on Sunday morning. Oof! God's got to pull through. Those obstacles, young people, bring opportunities. The well of faith is not dry. The well of faith is full. But you got to draw. You got to draw. I'm done. I want to challenge you this morning. Exercise your faith. Live by faith. Believe God. Stop being a Bible college student atheist. What has God done for you? When was the last time God pulled through? What is so heavy in your heart that you keep carrying a burden because you won't let God? How about that bus route? Are you happy with the seats half filled and the bus half filled? No one that's in City Baptist, no one's turning out right, no one's living for God. You know what it is? It's a faith problem. Would you bow your heads? The Lord has spoken to you, would you come?